It's Talking Baseball's first guest appearance, and he is Trevor Plouffe. You already saw it in the title. Let's go. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Talking Baseball. My name is John Boy, and I'm joined by, always, my good pal, Jake Story Alley. Jake, how you doing?
Doing well, Jim. Winding down, what is it, Tuesday?
Your favorite day of the week.
Yeah, did some work, went to a yogurt class, cooked some animal on the grill. Some R.I.P. Noodle, my dog. But I'm good, man. I'm excited for the people to hear Plouffe Master Flex, our dude.
Plouffy the Plouffster. Plouffy Plouffe. That's dumb. I think it's our, you said this when we were interviewing him. You said it's our first guest, right? On Talking Baseball.
Yeah. Unless you got someone else, I don't know.
No, I can't remember. We had a lot on Talking Yanks, obviously. This is the first time on Talking Baseball, so we're excited to bring that to you guys. We're going to winter meetings in 3 days, so hopefully we'll have tons of guests there and do much more interviews in the future. We want to do more once we think it's a possibility for us and it's easier. Plouffe was great. I think he's been doing a lot with us. So I'm going to save everything from the interview. With the interview, we talked for an hour. We covered the Astros scandal. We covered his career. Covered rule changes for the MLB. We talked about a lot of shit. It was a good conversation. There's so much that has happened, Jake, in this offseason. And last episode of Talking Baseball, we talked about how, holy shit, things are happening. This is not the same offseason as last season. Since that episode, which dropped Monday, we're recording this Tuesday night, so much more has already happened. We're not going to discuss it at length on this episode, but I mean, you were just throwing it at me. We had Moustakas. The Marlins picked up two infielders. There's a lot. There's even more that I forget.
Yeah, I mean, the non-tender deadline is now like an event in baseball because people were running the numbers. Like, teams used to be like they felt honored to have their guys on arbitration. They needed to have those guys on their team. And now teams are like, wait, I don't know if we could get, instead of paying our guy $10 million, why don't we get a free agent that we could pay $5 million? And so it's really interesting. I don't know. I think we're both getting juiced up for winter meetings, but I'm interested to hear what like some of the real baseball dudes have to say about it, because it's kind of bad. It's kind of good. Like, I feel like a couple players are going to put themselves in better situations and a couple are going to get screwed. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I texted you today and I was like, I think MLB winter meetings are going to be wild, because last year we went and literally guys that weren't following along with us or following winter meetings closely, nothing happened. Jake and I went for the first time last year. We had a table. We had our mics set up. We did some interviews. We had a lot of fun. But as far as baseball moves, nothing happened. And they always talk about, like, it's so crazy. People are running around. This just dropped. No news.
Literally the only breaking news, which, again, I think you and I have been running this through our heads, is like, yo, I bet winter meeting is pretty cool when something breaks. Because, like, basically everyone starts gossiping about the same thing. You want to know the only news that I believe broke while we were at winter meetings last year?
I remember, yeah.
The Orioles hired Brandon Hyde.
Hell yeah.
And it was pretty funny because one of my buddies is a Orioles reporter, and we were talking to him. He's a young dude. He was kind of our comfort zone who was legit there. And he's like, yeah, the Orioles told me they're not doing anything. We were like, maybe the manager? He's like, no, I don't even think that. And then they did, so we were busting his balls a little bit. But yeah, last winter meeting, the story was nothing was happening. That was the story.
So we're going to have another episode before winter meeting, so I feel foolish like saying this, because we're going to have another episode, 3-episode week from us, because things are happening, and I guarantee more happens. So this is Wednesday. You're listening to the Plouffe interview. On Friday, we'll drop another one and update everything else that has happened. And then I was going to give a whole winter meeting spiel, but I'll give that on the Friday episode. Just follow us and all that good stuff. Let's just go right into this interview now.
Do you think one of the semi-big guys falls between now and Thursday night when we record at this point?
See, here's the thing, Jake.
Right.
The days before winter meetings and even the first couple days of winter meetings, look at this hair I got. What is that?
Yeah, you got a wild card hair right now. Oh, no, the hair's already turning on you.
No, it's just the end of the day.
Oh, boy.
Fuck. What was I saying?
You're saying the days leading up to winter meetings and
are
the first
full
couple
of
days
nonsense.
Of winter...
Are full okay. of like they're like this latest Ooh. Report. This latest report came out that it was like Wheeler says he plans to sign before winter meetings even start. Oh yeah, because leverage much, dum dums. Like that's not a real report. That's someone feeding you something for leverage. Which that's reporters have to report what they hear. But like, there's a lot of hogwash that gets sent out these days before winter meetings.
I'm just interested. I mean, everyone's doing their Cole Strasburg meeting. I don't think either of them are going to drop. But yeah, people are being really serious about Wheeler, Rendon. And I don't know, some of the back channel stuff we have heard is that if there's a dude that would sign and doesn't care about when he announces it, it's Rendon. So... I don't know. I'm excited to see, but yeah, we'll be covering all the baseball transaction stuff next up.
Has our dude had any good tweets?
Which you gotta tighten that up, that scope for me a little bit.
Heyman.
Oh, your dude. He is not. My man.
Yep, they got one. We got one. Okay, new segment.
Oh, yes.
This is a new segment on Talking Baseball. It's called Get Stupid with John Heyman. Get stupid. Okay, here's a John Heyman tweet update. Wheeler is White Sox top pitching target. No belief they are in on Cole Strasburg and seem less so on Mad Bum. Also reportedly in on Wheeler. The Twins, the Rangers, the Reds, maybe the Blue Jays. Maybe the Astros. The Southsiders could go for two starters. Also, could use a second baseman. So, why does he think that's a tweetable thing?
We're down to six. That one's not one of his more egregious ones. There's going to be a lot better coming on this segment.
Oh, there will be a ton, dude. But, like, okay, so this update is
There's no mystery team in that
The White Sox, the Twins, the Rangers, the Reds, maybe the Blue Jays, maybe the Astros. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams. I mean, how many teams are in need of top-line starting pitchers? Like, you put the Yankees on there and the Angels, and you have every team that he could guess.
Yeah, his Wheeler one before that. I mean, it's a fairly legit tweet until the end. He kills me when he does like open ended ones. He goes, White Sox, Twins, Rangers, others in. Like to me, that's more pathetic.
Yes, he does that all the time.
Like you left in that one, he left a full open door. Others. In that one, he gave six options, which that's pretty tight for Heyman. Others, he basically limited to all the MLB teams.
Okay.
Not even, he didn't specify.
Just anyone else.
Yoma Yuri.
All right, here is our new best friend in the entire world, Trevor Plouffe. But first, I'm going to run all the ads, then Trevor Plouffe.
We have history today. The first guest in Talking Baseball history, and it is... Drumroll, I tried. It didn't really work. Drumrolls don't work well on podcasts. Trevor Plouffe, the former first-round pick of your Minnesota Twins in 2004, debuted in 2010... Little third base shortstop utility, fourth in doubles in 2014.
Thank you.
Led the AL in double plays with 28 in 2015.
Wow.
That's what I'm most known for.
And then I had
Wait,
led
turned,
AL in.
Turned or no, grounded not, into?
Not, no.
No. Grounded into.
I
take back
so
my
So that's
claps.
Tough. Yeah, so no claps for that. And then I had AL errors, third base in 2012, but we don't have to talk about that because errors are a little overrated.
I regret asking you to do the intro.
I told you, I was going to go in.
For me, but it's okay. I actually have explanations for both of those. So, you know, grounding the double plays means you just hit the ball hard, just at somebody.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
That's how I look at it, actually. But the errors, you know, whatever.
Whatever.
Yes.
You just had better range than the average third baseman. That's all.
I was going to say that, but I don't want to make too many excuses for myself right off the bat. But
no, it's like our Chapman. Most errors, but he's the best third baseman. So you were actually the best that year. Congrats.
Basically, Chapman and I are the same player.
Yes.
We're joined by Matt Chapman. Thanks for joining us, Matt, of the Oakland A's. No, dude. Trevor, what's up, man? We're buddies.
We're buddies. We got to hang out in L.A. a little bit, got to meet each other, and here we are, right?
Perfect. You're putting our setups to shame, so we're happy about that.
You forgot the Yankee killer in my intro. That's what I really wanted you to say.
Yeah, ooh. Yankee killer. 800 OPS at Yankee Stadium. Did you ever play? No, you didn't. You only played at the new Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, the new one. I debuted in 2010, so I think the new one was 09, right? They won the World Series there.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding us. It was a good year.
That's one, right?
Thank you.
That come on now. Come on now.
That's the rumor on Twitter.
Yeah. First decade without it. So, Jake, you have the most notes I've ever seen you have for an episode here.
Yeah.
Hit him with one random question.
Hit me, man.
I know Jimmy normally he doesn't like some of this stuff, but actually we had our ideal meeting situation. We linked up with you in the valley outside of LA. We had a couple beers. And that's like Jimmy's goal of this whole thing. Like, please, we could have interviewed some pretty serious people.
Yeah.
But we waited. We wanted to link up with you. We wanted to get your vibe, and you vibed with us, and that was awesome. I want to start with an apology, not for my intro. You met up with me and Jimmy, and we had Jimmy's brother Luke, formerly intern Luke, we call him.
Now he's producer Luke.
And producer Luke said when he came up and he met you, he said he stepped on your shoe.
He feels so bad about it. He keeps talking about it. I stepped on his shoe. I feel terrible.
Oh, my gosh. I honestly do not remember that. And luckily for him, I'm not like a sneaker guy. So
okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
So Luke's kind of a young swagster. So he's like, oh, my God, I stepped on his clean shoe. So I'm glad I could
before the show because I would have acted, you know, upset with him or whatever. Now the cat's out of the bag. I don't really care.
So here's my first question. That's completely just a tangent. How many guys in the MLB are like brands guys? Like they need the newest stuff. They need the newest hat. Cause like I played hockey and couldn't care less growing up, but there was tons of people like need the new stuff. Our MLB clubhouse is full of guys who don't care cause they're so good. You said, baseball equipment. Like, were you like an equipment hound? Like, needed the new glove, needed the new bats, everything?
There's all sorts of guys. You know, I think there's the guys that just get sent everything. And so they have everything. There's guys, usually the guys that really want like all the cool shit, those are the guys that don't have it. The younger guys, or like maybe guys that just got called up, or guys that don't have the big deals because, you know, then they're like, man, I see so and so. And, you know, Jake Arrieta is probably the person I saw got sent the most shit. Like we come home from road trips and his entire locker and his extra locker next to him would just be like boxes and boxes and boxes of stuff. So for a guy like that, like he doesn't really care. He kind of just like opens up a box and is like, oh, I'll wear these today.
It's a nice locker.
I was pretty much like, I liked whatever I had. That was like a creature of habit. So I wore the same shoes from Under Armour. They were called the Yard Ones. And I think they're like on Yard 11 now. So I like always requested the Yard Ones. So I was the guy that wanted what I was comfortable with, I guess. But definitely you have all those guys. Like I said, most of the time they're the young guys that like want all the cool shit. They want to be like flashy. And then if they suck, we always would just make fun of them. Be like, you have all that cool gear on and you suck. So
it's like Little League. That's how it is in Little League as well. Kid shows.
It doesn't change. It doesn't change. Yeah.
Were you, how many gloves did you go through during a season?
Same, man. I had my one glove that I loved and I would constantly try to break in like new gloves, but you know, for whatever reason, and I think a lot of guys will probably share the sentiment with me, like I think I got sent like five gloves a year from Rawlings or something like that. And you get one or two that would break in like the way you wanted them. And then the other three, like I have like sitting right over here, I have maybe four or five gloves that I haven't even caught a baseball with. So I had a lot of time with my one glove, molded it perfectly. And even though I did lead the league in errors, it was still, in my opinion, a pretty good glove.
I always like when the guy wears the same hat, like John Wetland on the Yankees in the 90s wore the same hat the entire season. And by the end of the year, it was just disgusting and gross. And I was like, that's cool. But I can understand why you wouldn't want to do that. But
I was not like that. Like, my give me like a clean cup and sliders and all that like nasty stuff. Like, I needed that like fresh. Like my cleats, you know, whatever. If they felt good to me, I'm going to stick with them. But needed that new hat, new cup, all that stuff.
Yeah, we are hard opposites on that.
I was neighbors with John Valentin growing up, and he hit the first grand slam ever in interleague play, and they took his bat away from him, and his dad was like, he was really upset about it. They put it in the Hall of Fame, but he was like, I was on a hot streak with that bat, and they fucking made me give it away. He was really upset about it. I always thought that shit was interesting.
Yeah, I think that's like when people come into the clubhouse and you'll take them back to the equipment room and they'll just go with the equipment guy and he'll just be handing out shirt after shirt of pants and shorts and everything you can think of. And these guys, like, their eyes are so wide. And as you play ball for a while, you kind of get used to it. So you forget like how special it is. Like, now I have so much extra crap. Like, I'll bring it to my high school and just unload a bunch of like pairs of batting gloves. And the joy on these baseball players' faces, it's amazing, dude. You know, stuff that big leaguers take for granted, you know, and you really have to remember where you came from. Like, I never used batting gloves coming up because they were too expensive and they would just get ruined. So I didn't even wear batting gloves until I got into pro ball.
Damn.
And now, like, if I get a speck of dirt on my batting gloves, they're gone. Like, I need that.
Yes.
I got to have that grip right. So definitely funny to, like, see everyone's interactions and reactions to all the gear that everyone gets. It's pretty funny, man.
So I have one question that I didn't write down. I'm snaking it from you, Jake, because it's a weird question. It's pretty open. How'd you get good at baseball? Like you said, growing up, like, is your dad a ball player? Do you have older brothers who like were hard on you? Was it a group of friends? I didn't have growing up.
Okay. I think the biggest thing was my older brother.
Okay.
So my dad played baseball in high school. I was pretty good. I had an uncle that was okay. But again, only high school. My uncle played junior college ball, but they just started working right when they got out of high school. But I had an older brother. He played baseball. He was good at it. And I'm 4 years younger than him. So it was like my entire childhood, you just try to keep up with him, you know. And for the most part, I got my ass beat. You know, yeah. And then you get a little bit older, start to get a little bit better. And then it's like, okay, I can beat him every once in a while. And just that, like, him pushing me, even though he probably didn't mean to, like, he did, though, because here he is. I'm watching him. He's doing well. And I just wanted to be exactly like him. So I think that's a big thing. I tell people all the time, like, your second son is most likely going to be better than your first son just because of that, like, that pushing, that motivation.
This is the exact answer I was looking for as the first son. So. Thank you very much. Jake doesn't have any older brothers, so Jake,
yeah,
we are
exonerated. My parents' first son was awful. I hate that guy. Trevor, I think before we start deep diving into thing, I think we still got a couple just like backstory boxes we want to check, and I think we can hit a couple of these quick. A, do you, so first I'm going to go baseball reference on you. 6'2", 215. Was that playing weight? Are you still there? What do you got?
Well, baseball reference and probably, I guess, all the teams, they usually give guys an extra inch. So I want to like correct that for the masses. I'm 6'1". I don't want to be out here like people thinking I'm 6'2", and then they're disappointed when I show up. So yeah.
My mom tried to do that for me on my license. She was like, just make it say 5'8". And I was like, Mom, I don't give a shit. I'm short.
Yeah. I did. Like, I wanted to be like a beast, like on like the Jumbotron, like show me like 6'4", yes. Which a lot of teams do. You got to watch these people, man. But 6'1", I played mostly at like 210, you know, but now after I don't lift the same way I used to lift. I don't eat the same way I used to eat. So I'm probably down to like 195 right now. Okay, a lean riding machine, you know?
Same. I get that. Okay. And then this is a big one for me and Jim, because this is a big part of baseball life. Do you have nicknames? Because, I mean, Plouffe is an awesome last name. I mean, that's fun, rolls off the tongue. On Baseball Reference, they've got Special T. I was running through my head. I mean, TP, I don't know. Is there, what are we missing nickname-wise? Because you're, I mean, you're a part of the family now.
Well, also, but Plouffe is very close to Poof, which is a very derogatory term in the UK. If you went to London on the London games, they'd have a jolly old time. Yeah, a puff, a poof. It's
is that like, what is that? It's derogatory. Do you want to go into it or what?
It's what they call gay people when they're being mean.
Oh, you know what? I have heard that before. Yeah, no. Luckily, I mean, that hasn't come to me in the States, but I mean, my name's been butchered so many times. I mean, Plouffe is like the last thing people say. It's like, you know, Plouffe, Plouffe, whatever.
I think it's too easy. It's like, this can't just be Plouffe. It's got to be something
yeah.
different.
Well, it doesn't look like just Plouffe, you know?
Yeah, there's a U in there.
There's a U, a couple Fs, you know, people get it. They get scared off by the E at the end. So, like I said, it's been butchered. But, yeah, Special T was like, I mean, they ask you for, like, those nicknames on the Players Weekend jerseys. They're like, hey, give us right. a nickname. Like, I literally do not have a nickname. Plouffe, Trev, TP, like, that's, like, the standard. But I was in a biker gang growing up. So, okay. Yeah, check it out. So, that was my biker name, gang name. Specialty. I
love
that as like an homage to my history there, but really no one calls me that. So you can call me a, I mean, we can start it up.
Do most guys just call you Plouffe?
Trev, Plouffe, Plouffe. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Jake's yeah, got a lot
like
of Martin nicknames.
Harris thing. Plouffe, that was like big Minnesota thing for me. So
Plouffe. Jake's got yeah. Rocky, Flying Salami, yeah. Toilet Nostradamus. He fell off his toilet and hit his head on the floor and then he got his next five bets of the day correct. Toilet
Nostradamus. Is it a real fucking story?
Yeah, dude, yeah. We did this daily radio show last off season and he would give his bet of the day every day. And one day he showed up and he had a bruise on his head. sorry, Jacob. He was shitting his brains out because he was sick and like lost all fluids. And he passed out on the
I did a nosedive, bro.
That's awesome.
Nosedive. It was enough about me.
Toilet Nostradamus?
Yeah, the Toilet Nostradamus. It's a pretty good nickname.
I'll take it. Do you yeah. have one to actually call you though? Because like, you know, nicknames you can just make anything up. Like people do so much stupid crap on the back of their Players Weekend jerseys. Like
yeah. no.
You got Yonder, Alonzo, and John Jay, they're like Mr. 305. Like nobody is ever gonna call you Mr. 305.
Yeah.
Like ever, you know, it's like a joke, but no one's really gonna call you that. And then you have the guys like we're talking about Chapman before. I think his on the back was Chappie. And that's perfect. That's actually what people call them.
I love Baseball Reference needs to differentiate because they give you nicknames like Rocket for Roger Clemens, Boomer for David Wells. People actually called them those things in passing. And then you have like the Human Rain Delay. Like no one like saw him in the hallway and was like, yo, Human Rain Delay, what's up?
Who's Human Rain Delay? Give me that one.
Oil Can.
I Axel?
No, yeah.
I feel like Steve Traxel. A lot of people that a lot of pitchers are have that nickname.
Yeah. Steve Traxel is the one, right?
Mike Pelfrey, we used to call that. He was the worst. Took forever between his pitches. So
how much has that changed as an infielder? Like Sonny Gray took forever when he was on the Yankees and they had so many errors behind him. And we always wondered like, is there a correlation there? Like do infielders legitimately get so bored when the pitcher's taking forever? And does it like make your mind stray? Is there anything to that?
Absolutely. Like you'll be out there and this guy's taking forever. And literally instead of being like, all right, like 1-2 count, like catcher set up outside, probably off speed. And, you know, I'll go to the hole or to the line, whatever. You're like, this motherfucker, like, can he just throw the ball? You know, so yeah, your mind strays and all of a sudden, you know, you have your 28 errors and you lead the league.
Wow.
So
I don't think it was 28. Hold on.
grab and throw pitchers like Mark Burley or Lance Lynn. Like those guys really actually help. Like the team is like, this is better for us.
Yeah. You hear that all the time. It's like, guys are like, this guy, we love playing defense behind him. And it's true. It's like, here we go. Like, you know, he's gonna throw strikes. So like the action's coming, you know, he's going to be on the mound. He's not like walking around, like wiping his sweat off, whatever. Like that helps a ton. So, you know, there's the kind of, you know, you guys are used to like those long ass games watching the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Those are miserable games. Like, give me the 2 hour 20 all day, you know, the Yankees, Red Sox. I mean, what's the average time on those? 3.5? Like,
yeah, I was going to say 3:40. It depends on who's umping. Yeah. If it's Sunday night baseball and Joe West is umping, it's probably like 4 hours.
Yeah. That's horrible, man. It's bad baseball.
Do you have an ump you hate the most?
I mean, not really. Like, they're all pretty bad. I try to like, you know, I like some. How that? I hate most. Right. Okay. And I have a few that I like. It's probably better that I tell you the ones that I like.
Yeah.
Ted Barrett, it's amazing.
Okay.
I think everyone likes him. Do you guys like know his background story? He used to like spar with Mike Tyson.
What?
No.
Yeah. He called someone's no hitter a perfect game, and they tell the story about it. And yeah, I've heard that he's like a badass dude.
Stud, like he's a guy that like he just sticks to his strike zone. So I remember one game in particular, we were facing David Price at the Trop, and he just kept throwing a two seamer, like a front door two seamer. And so it starts off the plate and it was like coming back, but not enough. And Ted was calling them balls. And you could just see David Price being like, okay, I'm just gonna keep going there. Like, he's gonna give it to me, I'm David Price. And boom, he just kept hitting the glove. And he would not waver. And it was, that's what you want. Just give me the zone. Don't change because this guy is all of a sudden hitting the spot a bunch. But he's great. You know, obviously most people just don't like the Joe West, CB Buckners, Angel Hernandez of the world because they're just bad at their job. You know? There's really no other explanation for it. I mean, they're nice guys.
I think with umpiring and driver's licenses, when you hit a certain age, you should retake the test. Like
we talk about this all the time.
Like my grandma, she was like 87 years old and I love her. And she ends every episode and she watches games with me. So don't take this wrong. She shouldn't have been on the road for the last 5 years she was on the road. Just it should not have been legal. And the same with like Joe West. Dude, Joe West has been umpiring for almost 40 years. Like at some point we should retake, he should have to retake the umpiring test.
Is there an umpiring test? You have to retake a test? I mean,
it's pretty crazy. I read a book about the process and it's Mark Feinsand, dad, John Feinsand wrote a book about it. And it's pretty nuts like to graduate to the MLB. But I think once you're there, you're in, and they get their Q score after every game, and it tells them how many calls they got correct or wrong. And when they implemented that is when the strike zone actually became real. Because have you ever seen like Leivon Hernandez's perfect game?
Oh my gosh, so bad.
And well, I'm blanking on his name, Cubs who struck out 18 guys.
Pryor?
Kerry Wood?
Kerry Wood's strikeout game, like go watch that. Like they're just not even close to the plate and umps just called up. There's a documentary and the umps like, yeah, if he hit his spot, we used to just call it a strike. That was how the game was umped.
They changed it all.
They have. Like I said, most guys are nice guys. They want to be good umpires. So you kind of like, you're like, all right, like it's just a kind of a hard job, especially like in real time like that, calling balls and strikes. So you kind of give them the benefit of the doubt, but then there are some guys that are just egregious with it. And then if you question them at all, they got some lip back to you or they don't want to hear it from you. Those are the guys where you're just like, dude, come on. Like, this is really affecting my career. You know, can we at least have a conversation about it? And I'm trying to think, you asked me the question, who do I hate the most? And I've come up with one.
Okay.
I really feel bad saying.
You don't have to say it if you don't want to.
Greg Gibson.
Your name and Umpson. I never even heard of him. Well, I heard of Ted Barrett. Oh, I know Gibson.
Just does not, like, if you say anything to him, it's just like, you're wrong, he's right, no matter what. And that's the stuff that I don't like. You know, it's, let's at least have a conversation, buddy.
Do you ever get tossed?
Not in a big league game, which is
really
soft. Good. Yeah, I know. I want to pay that fine. Come on, man.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I don't really think I ever had like Eric Cooper could have, or you know, RIP Eric Cooper. He could have thrown me out a couple of times. Him and I had some back and forth early on in my career.
He had an awesome accent.
He could have thrown me out like the first time, like I was like a rookie or first year in, we had some words and I expected him to throw me out and he didn't. And then for a while we were kind of iffy, but then we made up and playing third base, man. It's like,
You hang out with that guy.
It's tough because, yeah, you know, you get the umpires at home, and the next day they're there. So it's like, you got to be ready to talk to them. So that's kind of, that's probably why I didn't get thrown out too much, because I knew I had to deal with them the next day. And I didn't, you know, I'm kind of a, not like an aggressive person per se. So
nice.
Yeah. I've got one. I didn't write this down. I wanted to ask, normally you hear this with football players a lot, but we used to be in a pretty geeky fantasy baseball league. Okay. Do you have a good or bad relationship with fantasy baseball? Because you got something going on.
You were in the league, Jake.
A power hitting infielder, and you had the shortstop eligibility going on. Did you have good experience with that? Bad experience with that?
Do you hate when people mention their fantasy team to you?
Honestly, I didn't get it mentioned too often to me. I don't know if I was on a ton of people's fantasy teams, to be honest.
You were on my team, babe.
I hear the only ones I've ever heard people are like, "Hey, thanks, you did this for me. Like, I picked you up off waivers, and you were pretty good." For
Okay, that's not bad.
Streamed you for a week, and you crushed it.
Yeah, like, hey, like I saw your power surge, and you held me for a couple weeks, and then after that, I dropped you back to waivers. So.
Do you
well, and where I was going to segue that was, and I thought this was a really fun question, and you might have some real ones that might have been passed to you through the years, but I was going to say, if someone wasn't familiar with you, they're new to baseball, they didn't know Trevor Plouffe's game, I wanted you to give a scouting report on yourself, slash, have you ever received any scouting reports, and you were like, oh shit, what is this?
Okay. All right. I definitely have received the scouting reports playing on different teams. And then it's funny to hear guys come over, like pitchers, and they're like, oh, yeah, this is how we used to attack you. And it's always the same shit with me. It was expand the zone in to set up pitches away late. So, like, hard in, soft away, which is a pretty standard scouting report, you know?
Mine was just throw the ball.
Just throw it over. Just
throw it anywhere near him.
But people thought like they could get in on my hands a lot, so and they could, you know. So they got me to expand the zone, get me cheating in. They start throwing that soft stuff away. So my best years are when I really was laying off that, and then using the whole field going the other way. But it's hard to do that, man. It's hard to stay disciplined like that.
I make the breakdown videos on weird plays and ejections and all that shit. If there's one from your career that you're like, ah, that was a weird, weird play. Because I know you have two home runs off two position pitchers. Maybe I'll make that anyway. I told you to make your Twitter bio that best ever against position players.
Yeah.
Minimum two at bats.
Best hitter ever against position players. And then my other claim to fame is hottest wife while I was in the show.
Wow.
Wow.
I did.
Was that a one person vote?
I got that vote from like four or five guys. I have a funny story. The reason I say that, I actually mean it, but Logan Morrison, I get over to the Rays and I'm playing with him, and he's like, hey man, like, just want to let you know, like, big fan of yours. I'm like, you're a big fan of mine? Like, why? And he goes, well, we used to have our hitters meetings. And we'd go over our defensive meetings, They go over our defensive meetings, like, okay, Trevor Plouffe. And apparently their video guy used to like kind of check out the stands.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they'd seen my wife. So every time they would game plan against me, it'd be like Trevor Plouffe and someone would yell, hot wife.
Well, when you Google your name, everyone's Googling pictures of your wife right now that's watching this or listening to this.
Yeah.
When you Google your name,
yeah, check her out.
The top drop down is Trevor Plouffe Twitter, Trevor Plouffe wife. So
yeah,
there you go.
It's true. I'm proud of it. So you know,
okay,
it's okay saying that. But yeah, I would love to break down the Kike Hernandez one. That was a lot of fun because he was doing you. I think you broke that down. Like maybe he was doing like the hip gyrations and shit.
Kike, yeah, he does a lot of weird stuff. He's a fun guy. He was the one. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. So he got on the mound, was doing like the hip gyrations. It was like having a lot of fun with it. So that's like a fun thing to break down. In that same play, you could probably find Gabe Kapler like in the dugout, just like just going like this, like praying and saying, thank you, Lord, they're bringing a position player in. A lot of funny stuff from that. Yeah.
Yeah. For anyone who doesn't know, it's a tied game, like 16th inning or something. And they bring in Kike Hernandez to pitch. And he walked the first two batters. And then he had two strikes on you. And then it was like a high fastball you put oppo for the walk-off home run. How do you celebrate that? When you're rounding the bases, are you like, am I allowed to go crazy? Am I not allowed to go crazy? Like, that's a hard one to celebrate.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are on that one. I was pretty stoked, but, you know, I was trying to play it cool, I guess. You know, but it was also like 2 a.m. or something like that.
Yeah.
Like really late. I was pumped that we got to go home.
Let's go home. That's always, I have fun breaking down when people win on walk-off balks or walk-off walks. There was one against the A's walk-off error, and it's so fun to break down the awkward celebration because they're like, well, we have to do the Gatorade, but then they're like, well, we can't get too into this.
I think I had like a walk-off. I might have been against the Yankees, actually. Oh, I hit a swinging bunt to someone pitching, and he like overthrew the first baseman, and we won. So that was a very awkward celebration for me, you know, because you want to get a hit.
That's my highlight reel. That's my career highlight reel.
You want to hit a homer, you want to do something, and all of a sudden you hit like a swinging bunt, you're like running down the first base pissed off, and then he throws the ball away and you have to turn your frown upside down real quick, and then, you know,
yeah,
all the cameras are on you. It's very awkward, man.
There's a great old highlight of Paul O'Neill who thought he flied out to right field in old Yankee Stadium, and he like slams the bat down and he's fucking pissed, and it ends up carrying over the short porch for a go-ahead home run in like the 8th inning, and he rounds home and everyone's trying to celebrate with him, but he didn't get good wood on it, so he's still just livid the entire, like, he can't get himself to understand, like, just be happy. It's really funny.
Funny, man. I think so. I mean, Bryce Harper's done that a few times, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. And then people love to hate on him. So they're like, what a dick. But like with Paul O'Neill, we're like, well, that's so awesome. It's funny how people can do the same thing but get perceived different. Jake and I like Harper. We think I like people that play the heel. Like Harper's not afraid to be hated. Neither is Bregman. And I don't really like Bregman, but I like that he does that. You know, baseball needs people that are going to be like villains. I like Votto a lot because he'll fuck with opposing fans in when he's playing first. And
yeah, who are the villains? I mean, you're saying Bryce Harper. I guess he's definitely a villain. People love to hate him. You're right. I don't know why. Like, I guess even I had some preconceived notions of him, but he was a pretty good guy. I met him in spring training this year, like when he came over. That was cool. I'm trying to think of other villains. Strowman's like a villain, right? Kind of.
Yeah, Archer before he kind of got bad enough where no one cares.
No one's scared of Archer.
No one's scared of, but disliked just because it's mostly guys that are 100% themselves on the field, good or bad. Like
Tim Anderson right now, everyone loves to hate that guy.
He's my best friend, yeah, because he retweeted my video I made on him. So me and Timmy are close. Actually, I like everything the White Sox are doing right now. They're kind of.
Yeah, he's a good player, man. You see that a lot. Like, you'll see guys that are on other teams, and you're like, oh, I hate that guy. Like, I can't stand him. And then he comes on your team, you're like, oh, okay, he's all right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, we're Yankees fans, but you hear that about Derek Jeter, and everything I read is like, guys would come over and be like, oh, he's overrated, he's overhyped, he gets too much attention. Then they'd spend a season with Jeter, and they always came out of it like, holy shit, that dude works really hard. So I don't know. Maybe you've heard some other stories that are differing that, but it's always cool, like, it's anyone who gets publicity. I'm sure people, I don't know, you think anyone hates Trout, like within, like players are like, fuck that guy. Because he seems liked by everyone.
I'm sure there's some people that hate him. There's always haters. But, you know, he's kind of like one of those guys who does, he just stays out of the limelight. So he doesn't give himself like opportunities to be hated. The only thing you could really hate about him is just like how good he is. So, you know, he's kind of got that going for him. But I agree, you know, the other guys, you know, the Bregmans and Strowmans, the Archers, those guys kind of, they leave it out all in the field, so they leave themselves opportunities for that. But I like those guys.
Are you into, like, this youth movement where, you know, hey, let them bat flip, let them show emotion and all that? Would you have been up in your bat flips if you were, you know, because 2013, 14, you played kind of an era where it was slowly transitioning to where I feel like the last 2 years have been the league saying like, no, let's do it. Like, let's allow this to happen. Would you have liked it or disliked it? Would you have partaken or did you?
I'm all about it because I think it's a way to grow the game. I think that's kind of what the MLB is seeing. It's like people want to see that stuff. So now that I'm out of the game, I kind of understand it more. But I was brought up or mentored by like a couple guys who would never do that, like Justin Morneau, Joe Mauer, Jim Tomei. Like, these guys are just not going to.
Yep.
Watching these guys with their pedigree and they're not doing it, it's like you automatically just say, okay, I'm not doing it either. Like, I'm going to act like I've been there, even though I necessarily haven't been there. But you said, now it's par for the course. And even the older guys, like the Bronze of the world, like they're like, I saw him absolutely pimp a bunch of balls this year, and he never would have done that in years past. But now it's kind of like commonplace. So I'm okay with it.
That's fun. I think it's funny. Going back to the heel thing a little bit, I think like baseball players don't get enough exposure to be the heel. It's not like, oh, Jake Lamb's coming to town, that guy pisses me off. Like, no, not enough guys are watching those D-back games. And I think we're getting into the current players a little bit. And Trevor, we kind of heard this about you, and then you got a FaceTime while we grabbed beers with someone who's gaining popularity in baseball. But you're still pretty well connected to the game. I mean, are you still at the level where, I mean, you're just rooting for your buddies, you're rooting for the California guys, or I don't know. I think you're trying to do some sports media stuff. Are you, like, where are you at with baseball fandom or watching the games?
Right now with baseball fandom, I'm rooting for my buddies. I think that's the number one thing. I don't necessarily have a team that I'm rooting for anymore. I'm partial to the Twins because I still have most of my baseball relationships are there, but I don't necessarily care if they win. Like, when they got smoked by the Yankees, I wasn't like, oh, you know, dang it. You know, I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody did. I made my postseason picks, and I picked the Twins just as like a fan appeasing pick. I was like, this is stupid. They're going to lose.
you got to pander a little bit.
I know you do. But I'm rooting for my buddies. And even then, it's funny, like, some of these guys will face each other. Like Flaherty, who was the FaceTime you're talking about, he faced Max Fried in a playoff game. It's like hilarious to see that happen. So I just love watching the game without any allegiances. I think that's kind of like the way to do it. Like, these playoffs, it was like, I don't care who wins. Like, I just want to see good baseball, and I want to see these games. And you're kind of like happy either way. Like, if you know, the Astros would have pulled it out, like, I wouldn't have cared. Obviously now it's a little different from what we've learned, but it's kind of fun to watch the games with no allegiances, because basketball, I have a team, football, I have a team, college football, I have a team, and baseball, I'm wide open. I think it's been the most fun I've ever had, like, you know, enjoying the sport.
Yeah. You can talk easily about it, which I found because we were covering, you know, all of Major League Baseball this year for the first time, where I would always watch the World Series and stuff, but I never was sharing my thoughts. And I was like, oh, this is cool. I can make jokes at both teams. I can celebrate. And then I found out that everyone thinks you're rooting for the other team no matter what. I got Joe Buck syndrome happen to me. Sucked. But now you're right. Like, now I'm glad the Nationals won. What do you change when you change history? What's that called, Jake?
There's tough, a term, bro. Asking me for words?
Yeah, there's a term when you change history.
I'm borderline literate.
Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about. But I do know that you're not allowed in the state of Texas anymore, or at least the city.
Yeah.
Is that right?
They're mad. They're mad. They probably were watching this video saying, get to this Astro stuff. I want to hear what he says, and then misinterpret it and then be mad at him.
Yeah, I'm probably going to join you with the band from Houston.
Yeah, let's get into it. First opening question, if you were on the 2017 Astros, what would your slash line have been?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, we kind of talked about this before. Like, you just can't quantify how much knowing what pitch is coming helps you. You know, so I know we've done, like, the home and away splits, and some of them are good, some of them aren't that good, which I don't really understand. All I can think of is a lot of the guys, maybe there were times where they wanted it, times they didn't want it, because that does happen. Sometimes you'll be like, yeah, give me that pitch, I want to know everything. And then there's some guys you face, like, I don't need it. You know, so it would better than my 2018 slash line that I actually had, because that was probably the worst year of baseball I've ever played.
I have it up here, but I wasn't going to read it because, yeah,
it's really bad. It was going to be a bounce back year for me, and then I didn't bounce back.
You forgot to bounce back. Yeah.
I forgot that part. So
we'll add 100 points to every line if you were on the 2007.
Yeah, I like that. It still wouldn't have been that good. I don't even know what happened, man. I can't tell you.
It wouldn't be that. Still, that would be pretty good. I mean, 298, 372. That's pretty good.
Don't even go into
it. Yeah, now people are subtracting the 100. Let's not.
It's funny. That year was fucked. I went to the A's. I was going to be the third baseman starting, and I don't know what happened, man. I just couldn't find my stroke, dude. And then I went to the Tampa, and I kept telling the hitting coach, fix me. Like, something is going on with my swing. Like, help me. And he'd be like, you're fine. You're fine. You get more bats. Well, I'm not getting any bats. My swing sucks. Like, something has to happen. And it just never did, man. So
we joked when we were together, and I said, you spent 2017 playing at the Coliseum and then playing at the Trop. Two worst places in the MLB. Was maybe, let's blame that. Your environment sucked.
I agree. I'll blame anything besides myself. definitely wasn't me.
What was worse, the Trop or Oakland? From a player perspective, everyone knows what it's like to view it on TV. I think Coliseum's not that bad. The Trop, I fucking hate. But from a player's perspective, like the clubhouse, behind the scenes.
Oakland's the worst. And the guys do a really good job in the clubhouse, so I don't want to like talk shit about them, but they can only do so much. You know, it's like putting lipstick on a pig. You know, there's not much you can do with that stadium. And the Trop, at least you had the good weather. You know, in Oakland, it was freezing cold all the time, even during the summer. And the Trop was like, you know, 71 degrees every day. So at first I liked the Trop. It was like a nice little change. You got the dome. It was like you're playing in a different galaxy. And then you start to realize like, wow, like I'm vitamin D deficient or something is going on, because I'm showing up to the field and I just feel like crap. And like you said, like I played at the two worst places. Maybe we can start. I'm going to start telling people that's what happened to my baseball career.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
You're lucky you were playing.
Lipstick on a pig and coach fixed my swing. I mean, it's sophomore year in high school all over again for me.
I pleaded with them, man. But Tommy McCall, I was like, come on, dude, like, please. Like, let's work on something. He's like, your swing looks great. I'm like, dude, I know it doesn't fucking look great. It's something. But, you know, it didn't happen for me, so it's okay.
Damn. Yeah. All right, we got to get back to the Astros.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's all good. The Astros cheated. The banging is real. And all the other stuff for you Astros fans, I don't think it's proven yet. I don't think the whistles are proven. I don't think the eyeliner, the buzzers, they're all just rumors and maybe they didn't happen. But the banging in 2017 is very real. It was banging before pitches. And the only reason you would bang to let a batter know the pitch is because of cameras, right? Is that like, is there any way that the banging would make sense without cameras? They wouldn't need it, right?
It was too often and too quick for it to be from a generic, regular old, I have a tip on you type thing. Because, you know, it was going from pitcher to pitcher and it was so accurate. It happened unless you're literally looking at the signs. So we know that that's real. That's like, you can't even, if there's any Astros fans out there that are still questioning if they cheated and stole signs in 2017s and banged on the trash can, you're delusional. Like, that happens. Like, that's 100% true. So we'll see what happens with that. The other stuff, I thought you said the whistling was proven. I read some articles on that. You can kind of get the sound here and there, but it's the definitive proof is the banging.
Yeah, now they're saying, like, they were changing the whistling, and then there's that charge whistle, and a lot of Astros fans said, like, no, that dude's a staple in the stadium. Like, the broadcast asked him to be quiet. So I'm backpedaling a little on the whistling, even though I never was that too deep. I thought, for sure, it's something. I think the Yankees heard it, and they were going into Houston, like, listening, like, active ears, like, let's figure out what they're doing. So, but the banging's real, and then logically, just like deductive reasoning, if you win the World Series with the method in place, and you think the rest of the league is doing stuff like this as well, you're not going to just morally be like, okay, we're done. You're going to change the relay system. So
kind of their culture, you know, has guided them into this type of mindset, you know, like it starts from up top. You know, we saw the email that came out asking the scouts and the advanced scouts to do whatever they could to get signed. So it was coming from the top, leaking down to the players. And like you said, you start to have success with something, maybe you start to rely on it. And then all of a sudden it just becomes commonplace and you go from there. So I went to Houston twice in 2000. I'm pretty sure we'd have to look this up, but I'm pretty sure I went there with both Oakland and Tampa. And I do not remember the banging, which now when you go back and look at the games, it seems like, how could you not hear that?
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, because this is something that me and Jim haven't been fully able to wrap our heads around. And we don't know if we're giving too much respect or not enough. But when we thought about this and we thought about the Houston Astros and the players, like, we're baseball dudes. Like, I don't know. There's something that hurts your soul when you actually hear they were using the cameras and stuff like that. Like, that's so not baseball. It hurts. And we were thinking about the guys in the Houston organization, and it really was all these young guys that came up through Houston, or like, you know, Gurriel, that Houston's his only team he knew. And, you know, you go through the main guys, Springer, Altuve, Bregman, et cetera, that we've kind of give them a little bit of a pass just because, like, hey, if this is all you know, this is all you know. I mean, is that where people should be thinking, or do you think these guys kind of need to be thrown in front of the bus a little more?
I see what you're saying there. Like, you know, I see what you're saying. When you come up, you're a young guy. Like, you're going to listen to who the older guys are, no matter what. Like, you know, the Astros, a lot of these teams now, they're letting the young guys, you know, hit in the middle of the lineup. They're letting them kind of do a lot of things that maybe necessarily didn't happen, you know, even 5, 6, 7 years ago, where it was mostly veterans making all these decisions. So, like, there are teams that do that. But I'm telling you right now, there's no way that one of those guys, those young guys, came in and said, like, let's implement this. It was definitely an older guy. And I think the reports have been saying that as well. You can't really necessarily name a name of who it was. But, you know, in my thinking, if I came – and, you know, Justin Morneau or a Josh Willingham type figure for me, it was like, hey, this is what we're doing. I got to be honest with you, man. I probably would have bought into it. And it's just because they're essentially the boss, you know, like these older guys on the team, that you listen to those guys. You know, you're going to do whatever they tell you to do, especially your first couple years. You know, you start to get your identity a little bit later in your career, but, so it's I do see where you're coming from, it's definitely there's still fault there. You know, they're not just like, hey, like, those guys didn't have anything to do with it because they're young guys. Like, they still went along with it, and we definitely know what happened in 2017. We don't know about 2018, 19 definitively, but you gotta let them, you know, wear some of the responsibility as well.
Yeah, I heard some people say this to me, and it's on the same thing. Like, maybe, like, these guys actually thought everyone was doing it to this extent. And a lot of Astros fans will say, we're not the only ones that are doing this. And a lot of the report has said, you know, they're not the only team doing this as well, which I believe to an extent, because why are all the fingers being pointed at the Astros if there's more teams that are doing it to this extent? This is honestly just my opinion. I think maybe these younger guys did think, hey, this is league wide. Like, we're just trying to do it better than everyone else. So do you think this is league wide? Like, I know that teams go to lengths to steal signs. We've seen it with the Red Sox with the iPad. That was Cora after he left the Astros. There was something interesting there. The Yankees got fined for misusing their bullpen phone, which every Astro fan has sent me my way, but they didn't use it to steal signs. They just fucking misused the bullpen phone. Is this rampant? Do you think every team is, like, trying to this extent, top-down operation?
I think teams are trying to do whatever they can to pick up on either the catcher sequences, you know, kind of like the regular stuff, like what pitchers are doing, where they're coming set and whatnot. I do not think that there are multiple teams using cameras, like a live feed direct to somebody relaying signs. I don't think that's league-wide. Is it just the Astros? Obviously, you can't say that definitively, But I've now played in, let's see, you know, 5 organizations, and that's never even come up. So
I had a scout reach out to me when that email leaked, and he was like, dude, I've been a scout for 20 years. He gave me this team and proved he was a scout, but he asked me to stay quiet. But he was like, that email is fucking crazy. That is not normal to ask scouts to help install cameras or binoculars.
Scouts spots. Are old school. Yeah. Scouts do not want any part of that, you know, like,
yeah.
You can argue that the new age type of front offices, the guys, I don't want to, you know, categorize guys just as Ivy Leaguers, but, you know, those kind of front offices coming in, you know, you have like the Wall Street guys, mm-hmm. type numbers type guys, you know, maybe they don't have that type of love for the game or the history of the game. So it could be more of like these guys come in and say, hey, this is, we can win like this, and this is going to make us better and go implement it. That's kind of what happened. And if that's the case, then you kind of got to look around the league because there are a lot of these front offices that are built the same way now.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy. I have to ask you this because people will tell me, why didn't you ask? But I hate when people ask me this. So you can give whatever bullshit answer you want. What do you think the punishment should be?
Yeah, it's a tough one. Yeah, I've thought about it a lot. I think if it comes back and it's a 2017 thing where it's like, hey, this is isolated to this year, I think that you can do the draft picks. If it's 1, if it's 2, I think there's got to be some suspension of their manager and possibly the general manager. I think those are kind of, I think everyone's almost like in agreement with that. But if it extends to 2018 and 2019, then I think we got to start talking about, you know, something a little bit different, possibly a postseason ban or something like that.
Yeah.
Something, you know, it's crazy. If you say 1 year, I get it. You know, you did this thing and maybe MLB got wind of it and you shut it down. But if you start doing it for multiple years, I think there's got to be like a huge punishment because they're trying to deter other teams. That's basically, I think all you want, all I want is all we want is just the game to not have this anymore.
It's terrible for the game. If every time someone hits a home run or they're on a pitch that we think like, oh shit, maybe this team's doing it too. My thing is, at this point, I'm so fed up with the Astros fans coming at me every single day that if the MLB comes out and said, we did a full investigation, we are 100% positive they cheated, I'll be like, fine, that's punishment enough for me because you guys can't say dick to me anymore. Shut up. I just think they need to make it harsh for the future, right? So like, I don't know.
What is that though? Like, what's harsh, you know? Like,
yeah, I mean, Jake said this once and it kind of sounds hot takey, but like if they did it for 3 seasons, fucking ban Hinch.
That's on the table. I guarantee you that's on the table. Not only Hinch, but the front office as well. Like, they're looking at,
yeah,
it's not just a suspension, bans. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've heard like Lunau's going to step down and be blackballed. And then, you know, Hinch might be suspended. But if it's a 3 years, if everything that's alleged comes to be out to be true, and who knows, you know, the buzzers, they seem crazy enough that maybe I hope they're not true because that's fucking terrible. But if those come out to be true, it needs to be big.
What do you do with the players too then? You know, like,
I don't know how you handle the players.
I don't think you can do that. But I think if you ban Hinch, no one cares. He's not, like, no one cares besides Hinch and his family and friends because he's not fucking Pete Rose, Hall of Famer. He's not Shoeless Joe Jackson, who was one of the best players in the league at the time. You know what I mean? It's AJ. I know he's well respected before this, but
I understand what you're saying.
It's pretty easy to do.
And same thing with the general manager. Like, you know, no offense to either of those guys, but, you know, if you're at the helm, you got to take responsibility. I mean, they say it after every loss. Oh, I got to wear this one. This one's on me, whatever. Well, now you're getting accused of something, you know, that's game changing. Like, history is going to remember this if they get convicted, you know, maybe forever, you know.
But at least baseball, I mean, like,
it's a big story.
It's if it's all true and they get in trouble, this is the Astros identity for like 20 years. Like, they would have to, it'd be a long time before the Astros aren't
known. You think they care if they take a World Series title away? Just say, hey, we're going to strip them of this title. Like, obviously, you don't get to hang the flag. None of these guys do. Or let me ask you: do you think these guys get to call themselves World Series champions?
They not publicly, like, and even fans, like, it, you're not going to brag about it because everyone's just going to respond and be like, "Well,
it's the scene from Semi Pro. It's what's his name on the back of the bus, and he turns to Monix and he goes, "Yeah, riding the bench like a bitch." Like, it's going to be like, you guys, like, I think when you guys said players, like, no, I think these players are going to have stink on them for life. Like, that's their punishment. Like, yeah. And I think the other thing, and Trev, I'm not saying this to hit your core, but baseball is a young person's sport. I mean, the only time we've really seen old dudes thrive in baseball was the steroids era. Baseball is a young person's sport that, like, you know what, Springer, he's going to hit free agency next year. And, you know, Bregman's going to, Altuve's getting older and he's got a small body. Like, look what happened to Pedroia. Like, baseball falls off quickly. And I think these guys' careers are naturally kind of start going downhill. And everyone's going to say, oh, yeah, it's a lot tougher, Springer, when you don't know what bitch is coming, huh? And I think that's what they're getting.
If they're not, they're going to get that for, you know, the next 10 years. However long they play, that's all anyone's ever going to say to them. The funny thing that I think about with this situation is they paid a lot of these guys, right?
Yeah, that's the weird part.
They went a 7-year, $100 million. Is that what it was? Something like that?
Yeah.
It turns out they were cheating for 3 years of your, like, reference on him. Like, that's not a very smart, you know, business move for you. Like, maybe you don't know what this guy's like without. And I'll say this: I think he's a hell of a player, and I don't think he needs the pitches. I think he's that good. But I mean, you're basing what you're paying this guy off what he has done for you.
And maybe Bregman says, "Hey, I'm gonna rat you. I'm gonna rat out. Pay me my money."
Yes. I mean, look, dude. it's such a like. There's so many caveats with the situation. I mean, we just tend to talk about the cheating and then what's going to happen to the organization or what are the punishments going to be. But like stuff like that, like players who aren't that good or were on the team for a little bit. I think if this comes out, you're going to start seeing more and more people just come give a little bit more tidbits of information here, tidbits of information there. And we're going to start to see the whole picture. Like, there's no doubt.
Apparently the MLB offered like amnesty to any player that was on the Astros that comes out. Like, you won't get in trouble. But
they're going to have, there's going to be people lining up for their amnesty. I promise you that, because they don't, no one wants to deal with this. I mean, if you get suspended as a player, I mean, these guys are making big money and you're going to lose $4, 5, 6, 7 million.
What about this punishment that I thought of the other day? What if on opening day 2020 for the Astros, before the game starts, they have to take down the flag in front of the full stadium, and then they have to put up a flag that says 2017 cheated. And they have to slowly pull it up, and then they do the national anthem. And then they start the 2020 season. That's pretty good punishment.
That's really bad. I mean, talk about a highlight.
And the camera crews, they have to scan the entire audience as the flits. I got to be picture in picture, flag going up, and they just need to scan all the Astros fans' faces watching the cheated flag go up. And then I'll make a breakdown of all their faces.
They should do that anyway. It would catch buddies so off guard if it's like proactively they did that at the start of 2020, just like brought the flag down.
Oh man,
just like they all had their rings and like gave the box back.
Yeah, they just all had to open up their hands, and then one by one, a guy walked down.
And like a few lashings, like a guy behind that with like a this like smacking.
Yeah. Shame.
If they were smart, they would do that. They'd start proactively preparing. That's pretty good, though. Yeah. I like that one.
Joe Torre taking all the rings off the players is a pretty good image in my head.
Dude, Joe Torre, I was watching this. I'll save it. That was a tangent. I miss the old Joe Torre. Joe Torre in the front office sucks. He was part of this ejection or this brawl I just did, and he's like the Braves manager, and he was just such a fucking pistol of anger. Like, just an angry. So miss him. Jake, we're running long. You've got a bunch of questions.
Good.
I've got one
natural segue. I got a segue from everything, but we were talking about doling out the punishment. I was going to do, I mean, this is the classic mayor for a day. I was going to give you the commissioner for the day. And I have my one example that me and John Boy aren't fully on because he likes AL and NL being separate. I think every team needs to play each other. I think every year, Albert Pujols, I think year 8, this was his first time back in St. Louis, and they had like a giant party. Like if you're a Yankees fan in Colorado right now, you're not going to see Aaron Judge for like 5 years. And it's like, I just want that to grow the game. I think it's something great about the NBA. If Portland comes to LA, you're like, oh yeah, let me see Dane. You're commissioner for a day. You get to put in whatever you want.
You're slowly winning me over on that one, Jake, just to let you know.
Oh, I know, babe.
I love the reconfiguration of divisions, trying to get more regional matchups. I think that makes a lot of sense. It's tough with 30 teams, so we'd have to put 32 in and do the 8-8-8. I like that, so I agree with you on that. More regional rivalries, and everyone should play everybody. Because even this year, you know, I was watching the Dodgers play the Yankees, and I was like super stoked. I thought that was such a cool matchup, and that should happen more often.
You like those uniforms?
I love it. I love it, man.
You like the all white uniform?
Oh, when they play the Dodgers? Yeah, no. That was bad. Yeah. But the classic, like Dodger blue. And
those are nice.
Incredible. So love that. I think universal DH is like an absolute no brainer. Nobody wants to see pitchers hit. I can't stand it.
Thank you.
So that's also like the easy one. I think the one, another thing I would implement, and now I'm drawing a blank. I just had it on the tip of my tongue. I can't, how did that happen to me? That's incredible. I just had something that was awesome that I was going to say.
It was great.
You were so ready to rip it.
I was so ready to get into it. Move on to the next question. I'm gonna
okay.
But universal DH, 100% reconfigurations of the divisions. I'm in for sure.
About one shirtless player.
Yeah, I got it. It came back to me.
Yes, yes.
It's going to happen. Okay. You should be able to have like a mercy rule.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of people are talking about that now, and we talked about that when we had beers together because
that's right.
We're seeing so many position players pitch now. And let me – everyone that listened to this or watched this and just got like disgusted by the thought of it, here's the best way to think of it. If your team is up – by 8 runs in the 7th inning and it's 8-0 and you're like, I don't want to leave early, but this is nothing. Well, now after the 7th inning, if it's 10-0, you win. So now you're rooting for 2 more runs because once that 10th run scores, it's a walk-off and you're all like, hell, let's get out of here. And if your team is losing 8-0, you're like, you feel obligated to sit and stay because you want to be a real fan. But then like, okay, just put us out of our misery. And you're like, all right, let me get out of here. So there is some like more fun and drama to it where I think both fans don't walk away feeling gypped of baseball.
Yeah. And I think we mentioned this as well. Like if you are at one of those games that gets cut short because of the mercy rule, like your ticket stub could then be used for whatever, a free beer next time or 25% off your next ticket purchase, whatever, you know, something to incentivize fans.
Yeah,
so I think like that one for me, I love that because there are a lot of games that are just like, especially now, that's way out of hand, and you want to save your bullpen. Like it's bullshit to, you know, have to throw a bunch of guys, and then all of a sudden those guys are going to go down the AAA. You're shuttling guys back and forth, so there's like it's a you know a butterfly effect. So I'm all about the mercy rule.
All right.
A couple more quick ones I have. What was your favorite steroid? We'll save that for next time. this is like a kind of serious baseball question. As you see, we can flip the switch on and off pretty quick. We've been very impressed this year. Buck Showalter did some stuff for the Yankees, and it was awesome. Like the dude put on a baseball clinic on the air. Like one of the worst media presences you've ever seen on TV. Absurd. Said that weird. Is there a guy that you met in baseball, whether it's with the Twins organization or just someone you came across that you're like, that dude like knows baseball on a different level than me?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of guys who in different aspects of the game are just so knowledgeable. It's kind of
okay.
You know, throughout baseball, you'll see that. So the guy that I always say is the most knowledgeable guy that I ever met was Paul Molitor. And maybe I'm a little biased there because he was a coach of mine, like a roving instructor in the minor leagues. He helped me a lot. And then I had him as a manager as well. So I got to see, you know, his wealth of knowledge just about the game is incredible. Like, you know, he obviously was a gifted athlete, but you know, the work he would do, even as a manager, like he'd be in the video room, he'd be in there and he'd be like, hey, like, come here, like, let me show you something. And he'd say, look at these numbers. Like this guy, this pitcher hasn't picked off to second base in 6 years. We are going to second base. Literally can't do it. Just little stupid shit like that. Like you yeah, don't even think to look for. And he was so good at that. And he was another guy. He taught me how to dissect a pitcher, you know, four tips. Him and Torrey Hunter were two of the best at it. And I tell people that all as well, but they really were. And I think, I'll say Mulder was the most knowledgeable guy that I came across and got to like work with and pick his brain.
His career stats are stupid, Jake. You ever seen him? 21 years, 21 seasons, 306 batting average, 369 on base percentage, 817 OPS. Over 21 years, that's what he averaged at.
He's a super like soft-spoken guy. You ask him about his numbers, and like he just won't even like really talk about it, you know. And the thing I really like about him was he's so honest. Like he'll tell you like, but like in like the most polite way, like, oh, you played like shit today. But like he like will explain why you played like shit. And you just like walked away like, oh, I think he was insulting me the entire time I was in his office. But I feel good about myself.
It's nice. That was nice of him.
We were blown away. Buck Showalter, and this is kind of embarrassing because maybe this is super obvious, but he was like, yeah, when pitchers off the mound, they normally miss high because on a mound, they're throwing downhill. And I was like, 25 years of baseball and I never put that together.
Interesting.
But it was just one of those small things that makes so much sense. And yeah, we're running a little long. I think I've got one that's a Trevor Plouffe question.
Holy shit, we'll say it's out. Molitor's Wikipedia is a bang of a story.
He's got a quote in the background.
Dude, the opening line to his personal life is, during the early years of his career, Molitor began using cocaine and marijuana.
Boom.
This is his personal life. Usually it's about his wife and kids.
Okay. Yeah, he doesn't like to talk about that, but if you get to know him a little bit, he'll go into it. And again, now he's like the nicest, like most straight edge guy, but he's not shy to talk. He's like, yeah, I was young. I was in Toronto. Like, here we go.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Just Wikipedia going crazy.
It was in Milwaukee, right? Or
yeah, I think so.
Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee.
I got a Trevor Plouffe question for you. It's the weekend. It's a Saturday. It's outside of baseball season. Your hot wife and your soon-to-be hot kids are out of town. What's that Saturday look like for Trevor Plouffe? What are you doing?
Oh, man. I guess it depends what time of year it is, you know?
Okay.
I went tuna fishing, like sport fishing, ooh, the first time. And we drove 140 miles, like in this little kind of dinghy boat. And if for anybody that knows anything about boats and fishing, that's a lot. And it was not fun. but we caught one tuna, like bluefin tuna, in the entire time. And we thought we were going to catch like 25. But that one like got me hooked. So like I haven't gone again since then, but I cannot wait to do that again. So if you're asking me like ideal Saturday, it'd be like I got my cooler full of beers. I'm going out in the ocean and I'm going to go try to catch these big ass fish and like have fun while I'm doing it.
Nice. The other day you played, Jake, you told me you played a game called Over the Line. I Googled it. It looks like the most fun. Like I wish I knew about it when I was 16 through 25. But
yeah, when you told me you hadn't played it, that's.
I think it looks like a California beach game.
Interesting.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah, I wish I would have taken some videos of this tournament I was in because it's very competitive and it's almost dangerous because you're only, I want to say you're 15 yards, you're 45 feet away from a guy swinging, and we use these like those highlighter yellow softballs,
mm-hmm,
but the soft ones.
I saw it. Yeah,
45 feet away is insane how close you are with that. So it's a cool thing, and it's like it's something, you know, my dad when he was coaching us when we were little, like that would be fun at the end of practice, we would do that and like people would go nuts. We had like a great time doing it.
Yeah, I never heard of it. Looks fun.
Yeah.
You also need to up your personal life Wikipedia page, man. Compared to Paul Molitor, you got nothing. It just says Plouffe and his wife Olivia were married at Pepperdine University's Stauffer Chapel. They have two children.
This is all true. I mean, do I have to do that? Like, aren't you like not supposed to update your own Wikipedia page?
I don't know how it works.
Or are you saying I need to like get into some troubles?
Yeah, you just feed them a line.
Mix it up. Mix it up a little bit.
May or may have not done drugs with Paul Molitor.
The internet with you guys, maybe that's gonna happen.
We can make something happen.
Good.
I'll have to defend myself from some Houston fans.
Yeah, they'll come after you now.
I know.
I'm gonna name this video "Plouffe Wants Houston Banned for Life."
Bring it on. Bring it on, man. Come on. I'm pretty sure I raked in Houston too, so I got that on them.
Now you can't say these things to me because now I have to go look into that. Jake knows this about me. This is what the Houston fans don't understand. I like researchers.
I'm kind of nervous now that I said that.
You're nervous about this one? Because you said it about Yankee Stadium, but you were correct.
Yeah, just so, check so
at Minute Maid, .271 batting average, .741 OPS. So
That's not great. Okay.
You were Plouffe.
I had some homers there.
Career .707 OPS versus the Astros.
Okay, so I'm sorry. So never mind. Houston fans got that on me. If you want to talk shit.
Now they're going to send that at you all day.
Your best stadium was Colorado. Nope. Chicago. Cubs. Put on a show.
I played one game with the Cubs.
That's against the Cubs, I guess.
Against the Cubs. Yeah, yeah.
And that's wrong anyway, because you were the best against the Padres. Congrats.
That's all. I need to look up some of these stats.
Yeah.
I know this. Bruce Chen was my guy. Like, if I have to, like, go, like, he was my guy. So,
damn it. All right. Well, we'll end this, and then I'm going to look up your stats versus Bruce Chen. Thanks for joining us, man. Yeah. Plouffe will be on. He's going to become a regular. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a line some things up, figure out what we want to do, but say hi to Plouffe and don't say bye yet. But thanks for coming on. Yeah. Jake, give us that ending you always give us.
I just Plouffed my pants. That's terrible.
That was bad. And there you have it. The Plouffster. A full hour, covered everything. He did not answer Jake's steroid question, but I mean, seems like a pretty open book, good guy. We're a fan.
No, I said we're saving that for next time. And yeah, it was just really big of Trevor to admit that everyone in Major League Baseball thinks he has a hot wife. Like, I'm glad he could come on here and really just be open with us on that.
It was nice of him. You know, yeah. I mean, some guys would take that to their grave.
Yeah.
Like, you should hear when I was in high school, man, the compliments I would get about my group of friends. Jimmy hangs out with the coolest people. And I was always too embarrassed to let others know.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. I thought you were about to make a joke about your sister being hot because that was your go-to in high school.
What?
But yeah, Trevor Plouffe's a friend. And he's going to be doing a lot more stuff with us. And we're excited for that.
Yeah. And now we're done with the episode.